Hey, it's Maya, and welcome to Soundpit. Today we're having a listen to some surf music. To start us off, here's Dick Dale with Let's Go Tripping, the first song to launch the surf music craze in 1961. That was Let's Go Tripping. Dick Dale was a surfer himself and embodied the culture, which only really emerged in California in the late 50s and early 60s after being a traditional Hawaiian activity. Dale's music was born out of the instrumental rock and roll of the late 50s, so stuff like Duane Eddy and Link Wray, but with Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern and Mexican influences. Next up I'll play Duane Eddy with Rebel Rouser so that you can hear the rockabilly country sort of roots.
Thank you.
That was Duane Eddy with Rebel Rouser. It's kind of reminiscent of Western movie soundtracks. Duane Eddy was a massive influence on Dick Dale and later became a surf music legend in his own right as well. Also big in the instrumental rock and roll scene was Link Wray, whose stuff is more on the swampy side of things. Dick developed this echoey, hollow, sort of mounting sound with more motion, rolling drums, and what they call a drippy or wet reverb, as well as fast picking like you'd hear on a Middle Eastern stringed instrument. Dick was half Lebanese, and one of his most famous songs, Mizaloo, is actually developed from a traditional Eastern Mediterranean folk song. Here's Dick Dale's version.
Thank you.
In 1961, the same year that Dick Dale released Let's Go Tripping, the Bel Airs released Mr. Moto. This one's great because you can really hear the slow build-up of paddling and catching the wave, then you're just riding for the rest of it. Since this stuff is all instrumental, references to surfing had to be in the song titles and album art, as well as in the actual motion of the music. The fact that Dick Dale and the Bel Airs played on the beaches of Southern California in the summer of 1961 also helped build that connection between the sound and the sport, so that it was almost like a soundtrack to surfing. However, while they may have popularised the genre, bands like The Ventures had already been doing surf rock for a year. This is The Ventures with Walk, Don't Run from 1960.
Thank you.
This next song by The Safaris was written on the spot when the band realised they needed a B-side for their 1962 single Surfer Joe. The music was improvised, and they threw in all these weird sound effects like wood snapping to sound like a surfboard breaking, and the band's manager manically laughing into a mic. And now it's pretty iconic.
Thank you.
That was the Shantays with Pipeline from 1962. This sort of instrumental surf rock style guitar was used in the James Bond theme for the first Bond film, Dr. No, in 1962. The theme became a signature for Bond films and influenced the music of spy films of the 1960s. However, there was also a very different kind of surf music emerging around the same time that was vocal heavy, referred to as vocal surf. Here's Jan and Dean with Baby Talk, released in 1959.
I am only 5 years old, and my baby's 3. But I know that she's a girl, just you wait and see. She cannot speak very well, everybody knows. But to me she sure looks well in her baby clothes. I ask her if her love is true, and she only goes,
yeah.
Which means to say she loves me. Love my baby.
So a very different vibe from the guitar-heavy instrumental stuff, but it's got that same sort of swelling, echoey sound. It borrows a lot from the African-American doo-wop music style, stuff like The Penguins and Dion and the Belmonts that use a lot of group harmonies and smooth, overlapping voices. The main thing that distinguished vocal surf from this earlier doo-wop was the lyrics, normally being about surfing, girls, cars on the beach, and aimed at middle-class white kids living close to the ocean. This sort of music tended to be looked down upon by instrumental surf artists like Dick Dale, since the music itself wasn't surfing music, and purists still argue that surf music is by definition instrumental. However, Jan and Dean's 1963 song Surf City was the first surf song ever to reach number one on the US charts.
Two girls for
where I wanna go.
You know,
I'm
going to the city, cause it's really one. Yeah, we're gonna
That was Surf City by Jan and Dean. So that song was written by Brian Wilson of The Beach Boys. The Beach Boys formed in 1961, and later that year they had their first chart hit, Surfing. In mid-1962, the group released Surfing Safari, which helped turn the surf rock craze into a national phenomenon.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me.
Early in the morning we'll be starting out. Some honeys will be coming along. We're loading up our woody with our boards inside and heading out singing our song.
Come on, baby, wait and see.
Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me.
Surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari.
Huntington and Malibu, they're shooting the pier. In Rincon, they're walking the note. We're going on safari to the island this year. So if you're coming, get ready to go.
Come on, baby, wait and see.
Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me.
Surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Come on a safari with me.
That was Surfing Safari by The Beach Boys. Brian Wilson was massively inspired by The Ronettes and Phil Spector. Apparently when he first heard Be My Baby, he had to pull his car over to sit and listen to it. He became obsessed, and you can hear him trying to replicate Spector's techniques across his career. Along with Jan and Dean, the Beach Boys encapsulated surfing, hot rod culture, and youthful innocence, transforming a local lifestyle into American mythology. They were major in surf music, but at the time they were often seen as posers, because unlike Dick Dale, none of the Beach Boys were actually surfers, apart from Dennis Wilson. Next up is Surfing USA by the Beach Boys.
Thank you.
Surfing USA was a rewrite of Chuck Berry's 1958 song, Sweet Little 16.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay.
It was supposed to be a tribute to Berry, but it was done without his permission, and when Chuck threatened to sue, the Beach Boys agreed to give him most of the royalties and list him as the composer. Like most rock subgenres of this period, the surf craze was effectively ended by the British invasion, beginning in 1964, with the music being overshadowed by bands like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. The same year, Dick Dale developed cancer and went on a 22-year hiatus. The British invasion shook Brian Wilson. He developed a rivalry with the Beatles and began to resent being identified with surf music and car songs, although they stuck with the name. He had his first breakdown later that year, distancing from the band and drifting into paranoia and drug use. Wilson is someone that I want to get back to in later episodes, by the way. In 1966, the Beach Boys released Pet Sounds, which marked a change from surf music, allowing them to survive the British invasion. However, in 1971, they did come back briefly to surf, releasing an album called Surf's Up. It's a bit more sinister than their other stuff. Here's one of the songs off of it. This is Till I Die.
I'm a cork on the ocean.
That was the Beach Boys with Till I Die. So, very different from their normal wide-eyed sunny optimism and innocence. Following the British invasion, surf music went a bit dormant, but it was resurrected by punk bands. Surf culture in Southern California had been becoming increasingly violent and territorial, with some locals forming loose gangs that would fiercely protect certain breaks or beaches from outsiders and basically beat them up. These surfers were often referred to as surf punks or surf Nazis. The next band took their name from this and sort of epitomised the culture at the time. Next up is Surf Punks with My Beach.
Surf Punks.
The surf punks incorporated some of the elements from instrumental surf, but it was less idyllic, more feral, and high energy. Also early on the scene were Agent Orange, who did a cover of Mizzaloo along with some of the other classics. A lot of this evolved into skate punk, with stuff like The Descendants and Dead Kennedys. And surf also got into some of the gothier corners of punk, with psychobilly bands like The Cramps combining it with B-movie horror themes and their sort of sleazy fishnets and smeared lipstick vibe. This is The Cramps with Goo Goo Muck.
Well, when the sun goes down and the moon comes up, Goo Goo Muck. Yeah, I cruise through the city and I roam the streets, I'm looking for something that is nice to eat. You better duck when I show up, the Goo Goo Muck.
That was The Cramps with Goo Goo Muck. Next up is Anna by The Pixies. The Pixies make a lot of surf references and incorporate a lot of elements from the genre, and this song in particular is very cool because the lyrics are an anagram. I'll let you figure out what it is. During the mid to late 90s, surf rock experienced a revival, with Dick Dale recording again and his music appearing in Pulp Fiction, as well as bands like Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet and Lycra and the Cosmonauts emerging with, like, a weirdly space-themed brand of surf. Next up is Man or Astro Man with Maximum Radiation Level.
There's no doubt about it. If you live within a few miles of where one of these bombs strike, you'll die instantly.
Man or Astro Man with Maximum Radiation Level. They're kind of reminiscent of Devo, which, come to think of it, do have a pretty strong surf flavour. The 90s were also when Japanese surf was starting to come up, with bands like the Surf Coasters and the 5678s taking off. There was also a band called Daikaiju, who are from the US, but they blend a lot of Japanese pop culture like Godzilla with the surf aesthetic. Next up is Takeshi Terauchi and his Blue Jeans with Suguru Mountain and Sea Festival.
We'll be right back.
In terms of current music, surf still occasionally makes its appearance in pop. More recent surf tends to be more psychedelic, and over in Australia, surf music basically is just pop reggae with bands like Sticky Fingers and Ocean Alley. Next up on the more psychedelic end of things is Alalas with No Werewolf. Also emerging in the past 10 years is beach goth, a subculture characterized by black lipstick, dark shades, and sitting on the sand looking depressed. It was sort of kicked off by the Growlers, who personally I think have more of a gothic desert vibe than surf, but they've been hosting the annual Beach Goth Festival since 2012. This is the Growlers with Sea Lion Goth Blues.
Oh,
That was Sea Lion Goth Blues by The Growlers. If you made it to the end, then thanks for listening. I'll leave the playlist to all these songs and more in the description. If you enjoyed the show, then please give me a like on Spotify and a follow on Instagram at soundpit.fm. I'd really appreciate it. I'll wrap it up with Spanish Blue by the Aqua Velvets.